I'm Lena Bilkinen from New York University, and today I'm going to give you a summary of some recent developments in my lab's research on the neural basis of composition. That is the process by which your brain combines the elementary building blocks of language into more complex representations. So now, since the problem of understanding how our brains put together entire sentences is incredibly hard, in our lab, we've tried to make the problem a little bit more tractable and have conducted a rather long research program on how the brain puts together just two words, say red and boat, into the phrase red boat. We also do research on bigger expressions, but these two-word studies have been sort of our main lane for about 10 years or so. So to get the project off the ground, we ask what happens in the brain when you combine two words into a phrase. And then if you're lucky enough to get some result, the real work starts. That is, you start to investigate what the neural reflexes that you identified actually do in your brain. Okay, so I'm going to answer the first question right away. So with magnetoencephalography, we see a very consistent participation of the left anterior temporal lobe in this type of basic composition. And it happens around 200 milliseconds after the onset of a word that is composing with its context word. And we see the participation of the ATL in both comprehension and production. So now, in addition to this finding about the anterior temporal lobe, which is quite consistent, there are also some other neural reflexes of basic composition that are sort of more finicky. And one of them arises from more posterior temporal cortex, where we sometimes see facts of basic composition, but mostly we actually don't in most of our studies. But now we have a series of recent studies that more directly target just the syntactic part of composition, keeping meaning quite constant. And those studies are actually showing an engagement of the more posterior region. So in this talk, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share a set of studies that will bring you up to speed on what we've learned about the role in composition of the left anterior versus posterior temporal cortices. So now we're going to dive into my modular library of paper summaries, which I've started to use for compiling virtual talks. So it's a sort of recycling, reusing strategy that saves some time and energy. But first let's look at the menu for today. Okay, so we're going to discuss the respective contributions of the left ATL and the left PTL to basic composition. And here in the middle, I'm showing you that even a very simple instance of composition like red boat potentially involves many different subroutines if we consult the theoretical literature. So syntactic composition, logical semantic composition, and a more conceptual combination. So from our work, we've learned that the left ATL cannot be driven by syntax alone. So the presence of that green tree cannot by itself drive this activity. The composing elements need to have some real conceptual content. This activity is very sensitive to conceptual specificity and also to associative semantics. In contrast, syntax alone can perhaps drive the more posterior temporal activity. And here I'm going to tell you about the work of these postdoc students and RAs in order to make these two points.
This is a paper first authored by Lin-Min Zhang, and the title is The Interplay of Composition and Concept Specificity in the Left Anterior Temporal Lobe. And the aim here is to try to understand the relationship between the composition-related activity we had previously observed in the left anterior temporal lobe and the effects of concept specificity, which had been reported in prior hemodynamic literature and that also arise from the neuropsychological literature. And this paper was a follow-up to a study by Masha Westerlund, which was the first demonstration from our lab that these two factors in fact interact in the left temporal lobe. And Lin-Min's study is kind of a more complete crossing of both of these factors. So here's what happens in this study. Subjects are reading words, word by word, a very typical presentation. So for example, you might be reading meat stew, and then there's a task screen later that asks some question about the meaning of that word. Like in this case, the question would be good for vegetarians. And so then you would say, no, not good for vegetarians. It's supposed to be a very quick, easy judgment. And crucially here, we manipulated the conceptual specificity of the first word and the second word. So it was manipulated in both positions. So for example, in the first position, you might have either meat or a lamb. That would yield either meat stew or a lamb stew. And then in the second position, you might have either stew, more specific meaning, versus dish, more general meaning. And obviously meat in the first position is the more general meaning, and lamb is the more specific meaning. Lamb is a type of meat. Okay, how did these factors affect composition? Composition was then measured as compared to just reading a single noun in the second position. So you would have a little consonant string and then just stew or dish. So here are the main results. Zoom in a little bit. So on the left, you can see the findings for the more general second word. So here it's dish. And so as you can see, here's the amplitude elicited by just a single word dish, preceded by that consonant string. When that single word is combining with a more general modifier, so this is a contrast between vegetable and tomato, vegetable being more general, tomato more specific, when the modifier is vegetable, there's actually no increase in amplitude. So this is activity from the left anterior temporal lobe during a cluster of activity that is reliably modulated by the stimulus manipulation. So no increase for the more general modifier, but yes, increase when you add a more specific meaning to dish. So this is all activity that's measured at dish, okay? Then what happens if the word is actually more specific? The current word is more specific. So these are all responses to the second word. So here, what we see is that there's a little bit of a boost of activity just for the single words. This is kind of what we would expect from the prior hemodynamic and neuropsychological literature. Patients who have atrophy in this region, they lose the more specific vocabulary. So that literature is very, very much inspiring. This study and other studies similar to it. But in MEG measurements, the single word specificity at the single word level actually does not affect the activity very much. Then here again, when we're adding the more general modifier, not much of a boost. And then when we add that more specific modifier, again, we get to the same level. So the most important takeaway message from this study is that the size of the composition effect, the contrast between a single word and the combinatory stimulus, so dish, tomato dish, is the largest when the integrating item from the context is conceptually quite specific, but the current item is more general. So there's a bigger contrast in conceptual specificity. That's the takeaway from this study.
Here I have just a basically an advertisement to Songyi Kim's work. In her NYU linguistics dissertation, she showed that the left ATL very much participates in composition that involves verbs as well. So there is a currently ongoing lecture series in Leipzig, and it's a virtual lecture series. You'll be able to find those talks online. So check it out if you want to know more about how the left ATL engages during verb composition.
What I will play for you is a study that is just now coming out, where we asked a question about the sensitivity of the left anterior temporal lobe to the level of association between two words. So this is work by Qixing Li. This is a study first authored by Qixing Li. It's titled Disentangling Semantic Composition and Semantic Association in the Left Temporal Lobe. And it's currently in press in the Journal of Neuroscience, 2021 paper. And the question we addressed in this study is, to what extent semantic association and semantic composition elicit similar effects in temporal cortex. In our prior work, we have developed a pretty detailed understanding of the kind of more conceptual aspects of composition and how they affect activity in the left anterior temporal lobe. But interestingly, even just associative processing, like if you're learning to associate this post-it note and this pencil with each other, even that kind of processing can elicit sort of similar looking effects in relatively similar regions. And so it's an intriguing question about how the two types of stimulus variables may interact in the left ATL. And in this study, we wanted to kind of dive into that relationship. So let's look at the design. In order to create a design that crossed composition and level of association, we took advantage of the fact, first, that country names can be turned into adjectives with a relatively small phonological change. So France, French, that's the adjective. Korea, Korean, the adjective. So this gives us a very easy category contrast that's well controlled for form properties. And then the association manipulation comes from the fact that countries are often very strongly associated with a certain type of food. So by mixing and matching countries and foods, we were able to create high association stimuli and low association stimuli. So French cheese, highly associated. Korean cheese, lowly associated. If this was kimchi, then it would be highly associated for Korean and lowly associated for French. And then in the list stimuli, you just got the two nouns. So France cheese, Korea cheese. And in addition, there were some single word controls where you just saw cheese. And the subjects were performing then a matching task to the subsequent picture where you would see the food with a country, with a flag of the country. And the MEG analysis primarily targeted the food name, the cheese in this case, that was composing with its context. So our results in the left anterior temporal lobe showed that association and composition interact. Okay, so there was no main effect of composition, no main effect of association, but there was a reliable interaction in this type of ATL cluster. And the interaction was really, really early. So here 600 indicates the onset of the second word cheese. Okay, so the cluster starts at, you know, very rapidly after the onset of the second word. So presumably the relevant processing is already starting while you're processing the context item. And the interaction has the following form. So for the combinatory stimuli, the phrasal stimuli, Korean cheese, French cheese, high level of association elevates activity. So the signal is more driven by combinatory stimuli that are highly associated. So something about the existing association elevates the signal. But interestingly,
the pattern is not only not observed for the list items, but the list items show the opposite pattern. So here, the highly associated items show a lower amplitude, whereas the less associated or non-associated items show the higher amplitudes. So here, the list pattern is actually kind of like a canonical priming pattern. This is what we would expect if two words are either like semantically related or associated. You usually get a reduction of amplitude. And so what's really interesting about these results is that in the presence of the phrasal structure, that effect actually reverses. So association and composition have this interesting interaction in the anterior part of the left temporal lobe. When we move a little bit more posteriorly into middle temporal cortex, what we actually see is a more straightforward effect of composition. So here there's a main effect of composition where the combinatory and list trials separate in a more straightforward forward way. So here what we learned is that association and composition interact in anterior temporal cortex, and composition has a more straightforward main effect a little bit more posteriorly, and this one can interpret in a kind of more syntactic structural way. So here we learn that Ultimately, our theory about left ATL function will need to be able to explain this interaction. So basically, composition, according to these results, is able to flip the effect of level of association. And so that's quite intriguing and I think definitely merits future work. The final question that we're going to address on this side has to do with syntax. So now I assume that you know, may be feeling somewhat convinced that the left ATL does not seem to be syntactic, but it could still be the case that its activity may be additionally modulated by syntax. And in particular, what we wanted to know here is whether the left ATL would be able to conceptually combine two elements when those elements do not syntactically combine. And this is work by Alicia Parrish.
This is a paper by Alicia Parrish, who is a PhD student in linguistics at NYU. And the title of this paper is Conceptual Combination in the Left ATL with and Without Syntactic Composition. And the paper is currently in press in the journal Neurobiology of Language. And the question that we addressed in this work is whether the left ATL activity that we have pretty systematically observed in response to basic composition, whether it is in somehow dependent on a local syntactic merge. So do the two elements have to syntactically combine locally, even though we have quite a bit of evidence suggesting that the activity is not syntactic itself. And so the question we're addressing here is, does it nevertheless depend on a local syntactic merge? And so the materials of the study, they aim to keep the conceptual items constant across the expression, but while only varying the syntactic structure. And so let me look at the second manipulation here first, because it's a little bit more straightforward. So here, pretty straightforward example, pleasantly sunny. So here, pleasantly is the adverbial modifier of sunny, which is an adjective, and they locally combine syntactically and obviously semantically. I can use the same two concepts, pleasant and steady and sunny, and instead stack them as modifiers. So then I get pleasant, sunny. So you could have pleasantly sunny days or pleasant sunny days. And so in this case, pleasant and sunny, they could plausibly semantically combine locally. You can start building a representation of something that is both pleasant and sunny, but syntactically they do not combine here. And so our question was, whether the left ATL would respond differently to these two different different types of situations. And then there's another manipulation as well that has a slightly different flavor. So here the target item is T, and in one case, the syntactic constituent can close off here. So this herbal tea, that's a fine determiner phrase. But then in the other case, although it is locally combining with herbal here, herbal tea, the determiner was plural. So you are actually expecting another element here, and it should be a plural one. So these herbal tea drinkers would complete this structure in this case. And in addition to that, there was a plausibility manipulation. So that's also something that we hadn't looked at before. So these stimuli were then also either plausible or implausible. Pleasantly sunny, sharply sunny, that would be the implausible one. Pleasant sunny, sharp sunny. Similarly here, this impolite tea, these impolite tea drinkers. So because plausibility is something that you cannot really compute until you've actually combined the meanings together, you don't know if a complex meaning is plausible or implausible until you've put the meaning together. Our primary expectation was that plausibility should not matter for the left ATL activity. Okay. So did the left ATL show sensitivity either to syntactic structure or plausibility? The answer is it did not. Okay. Left ATL combinatory effect, so increases for these combinatory stimuli as opposed to non-combinatory controls or less combinatory controls, were not dependent on the local syntactic merge, and they were not dependent on the expression being plausible or the local combination being plausible. So here we see all the different combinations, and this is an analysis across the two experiments, and there was no interaction with experiment. So this is our control condition. And no matter which combinatory condition you're comparing against the control condition, they all show some amplitude increase. It is the case that the syntactically merging, so locally merging and plausible expressions drove the activity the most. So all those kind of, I don't know, well-formedness cues or converging cues, they did elevate the amplitude. And so that's quite interesting. So the left ATL can operate in the absence of a local syntactic merge. But if there is a local syntactic merge, that does boost the signal a little bit more.
Okay, so let's now imagine that for the left ATL, we're able to rule out the green and the blue trees, so the more structurally driven combinatory processes, and some flavor of the red conceptual type of combinatory process is still on the table. What about the posterior temporal cortex? Here, as you can see from my subtitles, these studies vary merge. I'm using the Chomsky word, but nothing particularly rides on the specifics. So syntactic composition or merge either happens or doesn't happen, or happens a bit and then happens a lot in the other condition, and so forth. And so the first example of that is a study by Graham Flick on English.
Okay. This is a paper by Graham Flick, who is a PhD student in psychology at NYU. And the paper is from 2020 in Cortex. And the title is Isolating Syntax in Natural Language, MEG Evidence for an Early Contribution of Left Posterior Temporal Cortex. And the brief background for this work is that in our prior work, we had identified correlates of composition in left anterior temporal cortex But those correlates of composition really seem to have a more conceptual nature. And our findings for a more structurally based combinatory operation were null. We just hadn't found anything that seemed to correlate with the more structural part of the combinatory process. And so here we constructed a stimulus manipulation that was kind of aimed at trying to figure out whether we could kind of move any kind of MEG activity around by just trying to vary the more structural part of the combinatory process. So here is the manipulation that we used, and purely structural manipulations are incredibly difficult to construct. So all of these studies get a little bit complicated, but crucially, what we did is instead of the adjective noun composition, as we have studied in most previous experiments of the red boat variety, we actually used postnominal modification in English, which is okay when the adjective itself has a complement. So that's one situation in which in English, even though adjectives usually have to come before the noun, so wide trail, but the adjective can come after the noun if the adjective itself has a complement. So here we have a case of that. There are many trails wide enough for a bear. Okay, so now conceptually, trails and wide, they should be able to combine locally here, but syntactically, wide has to have its complement before it can merge with trails. That's the critical fact here. And then in order to have a good control condition for this, that was the main challenge. We wanted to look at this construction and we wanted to contrast it with a situation in which trails and wide would merge more directly here. We used postnominal predication and actually in a question form. So are many trails wide enough, blah, 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 was the primary control condition. And so this is not totally straightforward, but trails and wide does, there's a more local merge here, like wide can merge backwards in a way that it cannot really do here, okay? It's a little bit complicated, but then, you know, the question is, would this work? Because these two conditions differ in interrogative force, one is a question, one is a statement, we also had a control comparison that controlled for that. So kind of a second experiment inside this experiment. What did we find out? What we found out was that in posterior temporal cortex, and actually our ROI in this study was pretty big, so kind of extending parietally, when the local merge was possible, so when wide, the postnominal adjective was able to combine with its context without waiting for the extra material of the that was necessary for the postnominal modification, we got an increased activity in this posterior temporal cortex region. Okay. And contemporary to this study and also after that, the hypothesis that the posterior temporal cortex may actually reflect more structural aspects of composition has gained quite a bit of momentum. And so that's something that we're currently investigating.
Okay, so now we have a little bit of evidence that the posterior temporal cortex might show some sensitivity to syntax, even when the, you know, the conceptual items are kept constant. Here in the next one, we'll see more evidence for that, but now from Arabic. And this is a kind of a merge versus more merge type situation.
This is a 2021 paper in Scientific Reports, first authored by Suhail Matar. And the title is Left Posterior Temporal Cortex is Sensitive to Syntax Within Conceptually Matched Arabic Expressions. And so in this work, Suhail takes advantage of the fact that in Arabic, you first of all have postnominal modification. So adjectives typically follow the noun. in order to build a noun phrase like red truck, you would say truck red. But then depending on the morphology, you can actually also build a full sentence like a predication structure from the noun adjective combination. So just add a little bit more morphology and you actually have the truck is red. And so now that is a nice opportunity for a study of syntax because the conceptual meaning is very constant. But in one case, you have full sentential structure with tense and everything. Whereas in the other case, you just have a phrase. So you have a semantically pretty matched manipulation. But in one case, you have a structurally bigger representation. And in the other case, it's smaller. And so here, because syntax is so hard to study experimentally, the neural correlates of syntax are so hard to study, we took advantage of this property of Arabic grammar. Here is the fuller design. The Arabic is down here. I'm not going to make any attempt to read it. But there's a basic contrast between a sentence, the chair is purple, and then the simplest phrase, a purple chair. As soon as Suhail started thinking about the design, it was obvious that there is a definiteness contrast here. So this has to be definite, whereas in the phrase, the smallest structure is indefinite. And so then he added a definite phrasal a kind of intermediate condition so that the definiteness effect can also be addressed. In addition to these combinatory conditions, there's also single word presentations of the critical items so that we're able to assess whether any combinatory facts might actually reflect the definiteness properties of these stimuli. What he found was that the syntactic manipulation only affected activity in the left posterior temporal lobe. And so here we have a bunch of ROIs, but only in the left posterior temporal lobe was there an effect of the syntactic manipulation. And so here you see these clusters, temporal clusters that show the syntax effect. We noticed that a similar effect is elicited in the first position. And so when you kind of probe into that, it's in fact the case that on the first word as well, the syntactic manipulation has an effect. And so in an important follow-up analysis then, it was observed that neither of these effects can be explained in terms of just the definiteness, since that hypothesis would predict that you probably should see a similar effect for the single words. So the main takeaway from this study is that with this kind of modification versus predication contrast, where you have either a phrase or a sentence in a language where that manipulation controls pretty nicely for a lot of kind of perceptual variables, only the left posterior temporal lobe is sensitive to the structural manipulation.
Okay, so the next case study is slightly different. Here, it's actually kind of a no merge versus no merge situation. We're looking at lists, which are never the members of the list are never locally combining with each other. But in one case, the list is inside a sentence. And in the other case, the list is just inside a longer list. So here we're asking about the fact of kind of global syntactic structure. This is work by Ryan Law.
This is a study by Ryan Law when he was a pre-doctoral RA in our lab in Abu Dhabi. It's a study on lists with and without syntax, and it was a 2021 paper in the Journal of Neuroscience. And so here, we took advantage of the fact that lists which are a very common type of stimulus in experiments, can both occur in long lists. So you can have a mini list inside a longer list. So that would be like a very typical like memory experiment, forks, pen, toilet, rodeo, lamps, dolls, guitars. But you could also take that list and put it inside a sentence. So the eccentric man hoarded lamps, dolls, guitars, and so forth. Okay. So the cool thing about this contrast is that the words are totally the same, and actually they're combining with each other as a list in both cases. Like, they're not locally creating complex representations. We're not taking lamps and dolls and putting those meanings together into some kind of a lamp doll. Actually, the plural morphology there pretty much blocks that anyway. And so here, we're able to measure what is the effect of just being in a sentential structure as opposed to just being in a longer list. When you start to design this experiment, you have to worry about level of association, like how associated the items are to each other. And so that was an additional kind of control variable in our study. I'm now going to focus on just the structural contrast because that was really what motivated us. So how did the sentential context affect the processing of these words as they were occurring inside a sentence versus just in a longer list? This is what happened. This is the basic effect of the structural manipulation. We saw effects of structure in these three regions. So in the left posterior temporal lobe, and that was actually kind of our most robust finding, although we don't really have the numbers to show that it's the most robust, but sort of informally most robust. In the left inferior frontal cortex and in the left anterior temporal lobe. The TBJ, our left orbitofrontal area, those did not show an effect. And nothing in the right hemisphere seemed to care at all about the fact that in one case we're inside a sentence and in the other case we're not. So to answer the question, can you modulate neural activity even when you're keeping the words exactly the same and you're just putting them in a sentential context in one case and just in a longer list in the other case? The answer is yes, you can.
All right, thank you so much. That's all we have time for today. I'm just going to leave you with the full references of the papers that I talked about today. And of course, thank you to our funding agencies as well.